What an honor to be able to come together and worship God corporately as a body of believers. If that's all the worship we get, or all the worship that we do, we are falling so short. And three times a week it's not like baseball, three strikes and you're out. We can worship God as often as we choose and desire to. And even when the chips are down and life seems to be turned upside down, and you seemingly cannot find a flicker of light at the end of the tunnel, it's just hard and dark and depressed, and you fill in the blank in your life. But our situations, no matter what they are, our situations should not dictate whether or not we worship. She mentioned this, but we don't worship because of our situation, our circumstances, our abilities, how close we are to God, how far we are from God. None of those things even go into the equation. What goes into the equation is simply this. We do not worship Him because of our worth. As she said, we worship Him because He's worthy. He's worthy to be worshiped. And so I bless His name for allowing us once again to come together to those in the parking lot and to those who are in the sanctuary. I thank the Lord for that. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together and we will take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John chapter 14, and hold your place there. And once you find John chapter 14, then keep turning, mark your spot and keep turning to the last book in your Bible, second to the last chapter in your Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 21. When you get there, say amen. Brother Jack, last week, he got up on a Sunday morning to a pretty full church and parking lot full of people, and he preached on the subject of hell. And I thank the Lord that he did. A preacher that won't preach on hell is not worth his salt. The Bible says preach the whole counsel. Can't just preach about heaven all the time. Can't just preach about deliverance and happiness, and that wouldn't be telling the whole story. Look at your life. Has it all been roses and money and everything nice, or is there some ugly and some downtime and some dark time, some hard times? I believe that would more accurately describe not just my life but yours as well. We are all. And none of us are exempt from trouble and from hardship. So I thank God for Brother Jackie preaching on the subject hell, because without understanding the judgment of God and the eternal punishment of God, we'll never come to the place where we will desire to have deliverance from that place. And so it's a super outdated message, in the sense of hang on, that's all right. In the sense of It's an old message. They've been preachers preaching on hell that goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and of years, even thousands of years. But just because something's old don't mean it, or quote unquote outdated, does not mean that it's not true and real. If you believe there's a God, you better believe there's a devil, because there is. And there is a God. If you believe there's a heaven, then you better understand and believe there's a hell. Amen. And so thank God for a preacher that got up on a Sunday morning and preached on hell. And then that Sunday night, and I think he told the church he was going to do the polar opposite of that and preach on heaven that evening. So he must have done such a good job describing and detailing how bad hell is that it scared people to come back to hear about how good heaven is. I'm messing with him, but really, as bad as hell is, as awful of a place as hell is, and it is way worse than we could ever imagine. We have a lot said in the Word of God about hell, but it's worse than our wildest imagination. However bad you think hell is, I'm sure we could multiply that exponentially. But I'm going to do something after learning from Brother Jackie, and I'm going to try to get you back tonight. So I'm not going to preach on hell this morning, because we saw how that went when he did it. No, I'm just. I'm going to preach on heaven this morning. I don't preach on this subject too often, but I felt led of the Lord to do that this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 1. Preaching on the subject, a glimpse of glory. The Bible says in verse 1, you all know the scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 4 said, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And then Jesus gives in response to Thomas, he gives one of the most powerful phrases in the entire Word of God. He said, "Lord, how can we know? Tell us. No man knoweth. How can we know?" How do we know the way? How do we know where you're going? And he was really asking, how can we get there? We've been following you 3.5 years. How can we continue? If you're going to this place, how can we get there? Listen to how Jesus replies. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way." They said, "Lord, what way do we go?" He said, "I am the way, the truth." In other words, this is not a lie. Nothing that I have preached, nothing that I have lived has been shady or done in the dark or deceptive or a put on or a show, which these men all were very familiar. Sadly, they were very, very familiar with those who were pretenders, those who had a facade, those who had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. In other words, those professional religious people. People who knew the part. People who knew when to say amen, and who knew when to bring the offering, and knew the Old Testament law. They knew it down to a T. And do you know what makes lost people? And that's not just true in this day in the Word of God when he was making this answer that he was asked. But it's as true today. This world, this community, my family, your family, they are sick and tired of hearing us say things with our lips when our life will not back it up. And Jesus said, search me. Look at my life. Look at all I've done. None of it. I am the truth. And he is still, thank God, the way, the truth. And then it goes on and says, and the life. And Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. You've never lived until you've lived with Christ in you. You don't know what living is until the liver gets inside you. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Seat. Thank you for standing. I said I was preaching on the subject, a glimpse of glory or on heaven. And you say, well, that wasn't too much scripture about heaven. We'll get to some other scripture about heaven, but where do you think he was talking about when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. Now, here's where it gets real critical. Just one good example. If you have anything other than a King James Bible, if you have the Message or the NIV, the New American Standard, and any other, the Southern Baptist so-called book, the gender-free Bible, fill in the blank. If you have any other copy or version of God's Word than the King James Bible, you are about to miss one and be misled. And one of the things that you should care about, you know, we buy Brother Neil, we buy trucks and new cars and we spend our money on new clothes. We spend our money on things, but there's one thing in life that we take very serious. We do our research, we do our homework, we pray about it. If you're saved, we plan. And we save and we are very serious. And it's not just a flippant decision to go out and to buy and purchase a home, a house. That's a big deal. You know why? Because it's connected directly to you. It's where you are going to live. It's where it's the most intimate place in your life. It's where you and your family comes together and can come out from the world and where y'all can come together or we can come together and have a place that we can kick our shoes off and just be at home and be with our family. And most of those new versions of the Bible, most if not all of them, other than this King James Bible, says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Well, let me clarify something. I ain't going to heaven and checking into Motel 6. No. Now, if that's how God intended and decided to do it, I'd be okay with it because heaven with Jesus in it is worth going to. But God ain't never, ever done anything second class or second rate or halfway done anything. Anything God's ever done, it's been done immaculate and to the best that it could possibly be done. Matter of fact, in heaven, it's done to perfection. Yes. And so, that's just one little example. Why you should have a King James Bible. Well, on the subject of glimpse of glory. Now look, I'm going to read Revelation 21 and get into some of those verses in a moment. But years ago, I heard of a place, and I'm sure you've heard of it, Branson, Missouri. You ever heard of that? It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I've never been, but I've saw pictures and videos of it. But I heard that they had just built, it's several years ago, they had just built an elaborate ladies' restroom. They got all that tourism and all those people come in. And they went, I mean, overboard. They went out of their way. They said, there's no budget too big. We're gonna make the best that's ever been made. And it was absolutely stunning and immaculate as a ladies' restroom. In fact, they were giving tours even to men. And that's before all this transgender junk, and where they made laws where men can go in girls' bathrooms, etc. They wouldn't let men in when ladies were using the restroom, but it was such an immaculate, awesome, amazing restroom for the ladies that there were certain parts of the day that they would close it off just so they could bring tour groups through to see it. Well, the sinks were gold, solid gold. The counters were made with marble. A crystal chandelier hung from the ceiling. One man said, "I had never, and still to this day, have ever seen anything so beautiful about a restroom." That's here on planet Earth where the curse is still here. But hey, we're headed for a land. And I hope this morning we can get a glimpse of the glory world and a glimpse of heaven this morning and remind ourselves and remind the devil that, listen, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through, and I have a place. I have a mansion in heaven that's reserved and been built for me. Amen. What a day that will be. And I was studying on heaven, and I began to think that man, if man can create something that beautiful, speaking of that restroom, how much more wonderful did he make heaven? If man could do something, I mean, look around in this sin-cursed world and look at its glory. Look at the beauty. Look at even what man and his finite mind could comprehend and come up with. They are some absolutely amazing homes and houses that have been built. Millions and millions of dollars been built. Skyscrapers and airplanes and all kind of things that are... just amazing what has been built. But all of those, from this immaculate, amazing restroom to the grandest, greatest thing that's ever been built on planet Earth, all of them put together pales in comparison to where Jesus went away. And when he told them, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Ain't you glad we're not preaching and you're not listening to a preacher preach this morning that are throwing out conspiracy theories and throwing out wish lists and like sitting on Santa Claus's lap and saying, this is what I want. This is what I want in heaven. No, this is not fiction, my friend. This is absolutely happening. There is in heaven right now many, many mansions, and yours is awaiting. Mine is awaiting, and it's been 2,000 plus years. Look at this earth, Bert. I mean, he took and created all the splendor and glory and beauty on planet Earth in 6 days. I'll go a step further. He, even more than on this planet, he created all the planets, all the stars in 6 days. Listen, get this context. 6 days to see all the glory and beauty and grandeur and things that we never will even see that God created, that have yet to be discovered. Things under the sea, things on top of the mountains, and everything in between. And that we look at and see the sunset and see all the glory and beauty that's here was created in 6 days. Look up at a cloudless night and you look up into the heavens, and it will absolutely, sometimes it's just breathtaking. How amazing of a God we serve that keeps every star in its orbit, that governs the universes. And that, I mean, if we was just to come off our axis just a little bit, Brother Bobby, and get just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd be zapped, burned to death in moments. If we was to get just a few feet further from the sun, just like that, zap, we would be frozen to death. I'm saying God knows what he's doing, and everything that was made by him. John chapter 1, and this is my point. He done all of this in 6 days. But he's been working on that one 2,000 years. Can you imagine? Could I borrow your imagination for a minute this morning? And you stroll with me to a land that's fairer than day. I mean, you walk down Glory Boulevard and hang a left on Hallelujah Drive and get on down past the throne, and there's my mansion. It's waiting for me, and yours is there. And I'm telling you, what a blessing that God would do that for us.
Amen.
Amen. And you say, well, I don't know much about heaven. I don't know what the Bible has to say. Give you some verses. I'm not going to read all of them to you, but listen. Most of us have spent more time, if you've bought a house and purchased a house or looking at building a house, it will consume you. Listen, it takes time to build a house. It takes time to come up with the plans and the details and all that goes into it. I'm saying, listen, that house one day that you live in, the house that I live in, one day, sooner than later, is going to be destroyed, utterly destroyed. It's going to be burned up. And when the world's on fire, your home and mine will not make it. But you and I have a home, a mansion in heaven. Where the rust cannot corrupt, and where the moth and the insects can't, they won't be any termites in heaven to destroy your mansion. No, my friend, it's a perfect place, a place of splendor and beauty and glory, and it's yours.
Amen.
Well, I say hallelujah. Well, today I hope we can get a taste of the beauty and the splendor of heaven. Before we began, there are a few things we must note. Number one, there are three heavens. I'm going to have to preach the rest of this evening. And I know it's singing night, but y'all going to have to give me a few minutes tonight. Unless y'all want it now. There are three heavens. Amen? I ain't here to teach a science class this morning, but you learned that in school. The first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. The first heaven is the sky that you see out here. The second heaven is the Milky Way and the galaxies and all that that's out there. And then the third heaven, it's where we're going. Now, there was two men yesterday who went into the second heaven. They left, and that rocket took off, and they left planet Earth, and they went shooting through the first heaven and made a clear run and clear path and made it all into the second heaven. But you know what? They'll never make it with man-made ingenuity to get to the third heaven. There is no way. There is no possible way you can build something that can get you from here to heaven. God made sure it'd be that way. I ain't got time to preach on this morning, but men tried it before.
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of the Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. They were trying to build them a tower to heaven. You can't build your way to heaven. I can't build my way to heaven. The only way there is to get to heaven, it was right here in the verses we just read. There's only one way. No man comes unto the Father. And where's the Father? He's in heaven, that third heaven, seated on the throne. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're going to go to heaven, you'll go through the front door. If you're going to go to heaven, you'll go through the door. Jesus said, I am the door.
Amen.
And if you go into heaven, you're going to go that way. There ain't a back way in. You can't sneak in a window. You can't climb in. No, if you go to heaven, you will go by the way of the cross, which leads home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to go to heaven, don't you?
Amen.
I about had it with this world. If I'm sincere about this, if it wasn't for lost family members of mine, and some lost friends of mine, I'd be ready to go before. I wouldn't have to go to the house to grab nothing.
Amen.
I could leave right here, right now, and be there in heaven. Could you?
Amen.
You don't have to answer out loud, but hey, you ought to ask yourself those questions. Because he's coming like a thief. in the night. In an hour where no man's looking for him. And oh, ain't we living in them days? And ain't nobody looking for the coming of the Lord. And he said, when it gets that way, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming. He is coming. And listen, we're closer, this is just a state of reality. Brother Bill, we are closer to the coming of the Lord and going to heaven than we have ever been. You say, oh, well, I've been hearing that my whole life. You helping prove my point. The Bible says there'd be scoffers in the last day. Don't scoff at me. I'm telling you what the Word of God teaches, and almost every prophecy, everything that's going on, the way this world is lining up and falling in order. I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about how that we have. I was talking to this brother over here about how we have just given our liberties away. And the dominoes are falling one after the other after the other, and the world is being set up to receive the son of perdition, the Antichrist, a one world government, a cashless society. It is happening. So if it's happening, and it is, you, my friend, if you've never been saved, if you are just a thimbleful of doubt, why would you chance gambling with your soul? Being left behind.
Amen.
Only because you've heard the gospel. And if you're left behind, you say, well, I'll just wait till Jesus comes and I know it's real and then I'll get saved. No, you won't. Not according to the Word of God, you won't. This Bible says that God Himself will send strong delusions to make you believe a lie. I'm not going to go down that path. I'll just say this. Look how easy it was for the government to feed us information and how we all, hook, line, and sinker, took it. I ain't saying this virus ain't real. It is real, but I'll tell you what, it's been more hyped and the numbers have been hyped and all these so-called professionals have been wrong on every turn. They change their mind more. Hey, listen, they change their mind every day. But yet, the whole world put their confidence and faith in these people and have completely altered our life and been willing to give up things that men of yesteryear gave their life for to defend and so that we could have. So what's that got to do with that? It's got to do with the fact that, listen, our mind process and our thought and the way that people, this group think mentality and this herd mentality where if everybody's walking that way, I guess that's what we do and we just walk with them. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Everything the Bible said would have to happen, it's happened. And the only thing that's left to happen is for the Lord Himself to descend at the trump, at the sound of God with a shout. He's coming back and the dead in Christ will rise. First then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where? In heaven. Yes. Hallelujah, heaven is real. Listen, ain't you glad? Think about this. I know some atheists. I know some that who claim to be atheists. But deep down, I don't believe they are. But I do know some. And I know a whole lot of lost people. And Brother Bobby, if I thought that way, I would do everything in my power to make the most of this life I've got. I mean, in sin, whatever I could do, I'd do anything. If this life was it, If there was no hereafter, if there was no eternity, if there was no heaven and no hell, I mean, I'd make the best of this one. But there is a heaven. And there is a hell. There is a God.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God. He's real. Absolutely, there's a God. There is a devil. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And I'm saying to you, we're closer to that than we've ever been. And if you are flirting in sin and playing in sin and not got serious with God about your forever home, I would not gamble. I would not wait to get back to church tonight. Hey, you, listen, you're liable to get hit by a Mack truck on the way home. Your heart may just stop beating. You may, Brother David said, he thanked God. He still got his heart beating, and our lungs are still filling with God's fresh air and letting us breathe. And listen, I know life ain't perfect, but God's been good to us. But you have no idea what tomorrow holds. Or even later this afternoon, this could be a life-altering day for you.
Amen.
And I plead with you, why would you reject God's simple plan of salvation when He paid it all? He done all the work. He done everything that God required Him to do. He left heaven. He walked down through the Milky Way and walked down through the second heaven and come down through the sky and was born in a virgin's womb and lived sinlessly perfect 33 and a half years. And then was nailed to an old rugged cross and bled and shed his last drop of blood and gave his life only for 3 days later to be raised in victory.
Amen.
And become the first fruits of them which sleep, which gives us all the hope we ever could have. I'm saying He's done everything He could possibly do.
Amen.
God has not withheld one thing. God didn't hold back one time. He gave it all so that we could go to heaven.
Amen.
And have a home forever.
Amen.
And if you say, hey friend, look up here at me. We're going to have altar call in just a minute and give you plenty of time to pray. Listen, please look at me. If you think for a second that God's going to wink at your sin and God's going to overlook the way you lived and the sin that you loved, and say, okay, just come on in. You better look back at Calvary. You better look back at the cross. You better look at the hell, the vengeance of the Lord that He poured out on His only begotten Son without mercy. Jesus willingly took your hell, became your sin, bore your sin and mine on the tree, became our sin, was willing, and I think this was worse than any nail or spike driven in His hands and feet, way worse than having a crown of thorns platted on His head, way more than being beaten and buffeted. I tell you what the worst part was about midday when the sun quit shining and He tucked His head and darkness fell upon the earth and it was there. And then when Jesus cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why? Those were the first time in all of eternity past that Jesus and His Father were separated and could not speak. And He did that and turned His back on His only begotten Son for you.
Amen.
And I'm simply saying, if you're willing to spit in the face of God and trample the blood of God and go on about your business, God will let you go to hell. God will not make you get saved. But He's made everything so easy. Is all you got to do is wave the white flag of surrenderance and say, Lord, I'm done. I surrender. Count me out. Lord, I surrender. I'm tired of this war. I've been fighting sin so long. I've been fighting the devil so long. I've been fighting against you. You remember when Paul met the Lord on that Damascus road and knocked him off his horse and blinded him. And he said, Paul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Why are you fighting me over this? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to make you never go to hell and provide a mansion in heaven. And for, I'm doing all that for you. And Paul was kicking against the pricks. Kicking. Fighting it. I'm saying, no, why would you fight something that's so simply for your own good? Say, oh, God's a loving God. He would never send me to hell. You're right. You're right. He is a loving God. And He don't send you to hell. You send yourself. Now, God brings people to heaven. But if you want to go to hell and trample over and stomp over the blood of His only begotten Son, who paid the price, your price, paid for your sin, took your sorrow, took all of your hell, drunk the bitter cup, blasphemed Him, ridiculed, mocked Him, all that shame, stripped Him and put Him out in front. If He was willing to do that for you, and you can flippantly say no to Him, I beg the Lord to soften your heart and convince you that your heart has lied to you, because it's deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And hell's going to be populated with people who sat on a Baptist church pew and knew all about Jesus, but never knew Jesus. And more importantly, Jesus never knew you. And at that great judgment, you're going to say, but I was a member of the church. I wanted to go to heaven. Heaven's right over there behind the throne. I wanted to go there. I went to church. I paid my tithes. I done and worked hard at being a good Christian. And He's going to say, just like He did to Cain. Cain who killed Abel. He's going to say, I never asked you to work. You cannot earn this salvation. All you got to do is accept. All you got to do is get honest about who you are and what you are, and that's a sinner. And there ain't a person in this room this morning that's been saved that won't tell you you cannot be good enough to get saved. You can't get your life straightened out in order to get saved. No, if you want to get saved, you come, as the old song says, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. If you want to get saved, He'll take you just like you are, in the shape you're in.
That's right.
That's how good of a God we have. Quit trying to earn it. Quit trying to get your life straight over it so you can get saved. Quit blaming this, that, and the other. And here's one of the biggest ones, and I'm done. Quit putting it off, saying, I'll do it tomorrow. The road to hell is paved with procrastination. That rich man said, I'll do it, but after I build my buildings and build my bigger barns and this and that, and he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. And I'm telling you, it could be this night, this afternoon, your soul is going to be required. Your number will come up. And I plead with you, I would not dare leave this church this morning headed for hell when all I had to do was say, I give. Uncle, I am what you say I am. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm sick of my sin. I'm sick of being alone. I'm sick of not knowing. I want to know like these others who say that. I want that. I want to have more than just head knowledge. I want to have a relationship with Him. Amen. If you'll get to that point, He will absolutely 100% save you. Amen. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's nothing the devil, hell, this world, or even you can do about. You don't have an eraser big enough to erase that. So why? Is this that complicated? God made it so simple that a child can understand it. Jen, how old was you when you got saved? 5, 6 years old. 6 years old. A 6 year old could understand it. And we've tried to make this thing so hard. It ain't hard to get saved. You know what the hardest part is? Is admitting who you are. And being willing to confess, I am a sinner. To acknowledge, I am what you say I am, Lord. I'm rotten, I'm low down, a liar. I portray one thing here and another thing there. All you got to do is say, Lord, here I am. If you would and could save somebody like me, here I am. I want to receive the gift. I want a new life. I want to go to heaven when I die. That's as simple as getting saved is. Let's stand together. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We love you. So, so thankful, Lord, to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Lord, thank you for mercy that met us afresh this morning. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that your mercy wasn't stale and left over from yesterday, but it was fresh this morning. Thank you, God, for the Word of God. I pray as I have all morning, Lord, please don't let a church member leave here lost, holding on to religion, but never had a relationship with you. God, would you do what only you can and reveal to them their need of a Savior, their need of repentance towards you. Lord, I did my best this morning, and as futile as that is, I pray you'd fill in the gaps, Lord. I pray you, oh God, would draw every sinner unto yourself. God, I ask you in Jesus' name, for every saved person that's headed for a land that's fairer than day, God, headed for heaven, may we rejoice, God. May we be so thankful. Forgive me for my unthankful heart of all that you've went to prepare for me. And while they're preparing it, you sent us a comforter, left us your word, gave us a church. God, you've been so good to us. So while on our way to heaven, Lord, may we experience heaven on the way. Save sinners, touch hearts. Help us, oh God, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I want to ask you to be honest. After all, this is your life. This is your eternity. This is in the balance. Are you satisfied? Are you sure? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you was to die today or Jesus was to come back and take his church, are you 100% sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? Nobody would come to you or embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. I promise I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. Say, preacher, I ain't 100% sure I'm saved. And I want to know. I need to know. Would you pray God would show that to me?
If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand right quick and put it right back down? God bless you. God bless you. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. Don't be ashamed. Hey, listen, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. There is nothing to be ashamed about. You are closer to getting your life and eternal life than you've ever been. But those who stay in denial, those who refrain from getting honest before God, never get help from God. You got to be honest with yourself, honest with the Lord. There's nothing shameful about that. There's nothing shameful about saying, Lord, I have been a sinner. And I need to be saved. Come into my heart and save me, Lord. Forgive me for who I am, all I've done. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Start laying the foundation and structure for my mansion. If you didn't raise your hand, and I'm looking, no one else is looking. If you didn't raise your hand, your heart's beating fast. Sweat brow is on your brow. You know deep down you do not have peace in your heart. Don't trifle with God. Don't listen to the devil. Last opportunity before we close this service. Say, preacher, I prayed a prayer a long time ago. I joined the church. But honestly, I know him in my head, but I can't honestly tell you I know him in my heart. If that's you, before we go, so I can pray for you, slip your hand up and right back down. God bless you. Is there another? Quickly, up and right back down. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you to those who have been honest. Let me pray for you now as other Christians are praying. Several hands have went up this morning. It's the most critical time of your life, the biggest decision you'll ever make. Making the wrong decision could cost you your mansion and in return give you misery in a devil's hell. Don't gamble with your soul. Don't auction up your mansion in heaven to the lowest bidder, the devil. Jesus paid a high price so that you could have, freely have, all that we've spoken about this morning. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I am who you say I am. I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved. I ain't sure I can live it, but I want to try. Save me, Lord. Last chance for a prayer. Slip your hand up and right back down. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Lord Jesus, please continue dealing with hearts. Lord, it's so good to see people get honest with you. Be willing to raise their hand, Lord, and say, I need to know, I need to be saved. Holy Ghost of God, you know where they live. Some I don't, many I do, but you know, I pray, God, when they go to get in their car to drive home, God, I pray when they sit down, they'll sit down right in the lap of the Holy Ghost. Convict their hearts, oh Lord. Take their appetite, take their sleep. Help them to realize they do not have time to play with you. You said you will not always strive with men. And I pray, oh God, as the hourglass is running empty, just a few more grains of sand before it's over. Oh God, may it not be too late, Lord, for each and every lost person that raised their hand this morning. If you want to get that settled, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put off. Don't wait. do business with God. By waiting, you're just giving the devil ample opportunity to talk you out of it. By doing it now, you're giving God every opportunity to save your soul. If you raised your hand and you're serious and you want to go to heaven when you die, you want your sins forgiven where you don't have to pay for them, but you accept the free gift where Jesus paid for your sin, why don't you get honest before God and say, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes. If it takes me walking down an aisle and asking, I'll do it, Lord. Whatever you ask of me, Lord, I'm willing. That's how desperate you got to be to get saved. I remember getting saved. I remember I would have done anything. Whatever God asked me to do, I'd have done anything so that I could get my name written in His book and know that I'd never go to a devil's hell and know that I would spend forever in heaven. Would you come receive the free gift of God, salvation? Step out in Jesus' name right now. You come. They're going to play one more stanza of this song. And if you don't come, that'll be the close of the service. And that'll be you closing the service. I'm willing to wait. That's how important your life is to me, but way more importantly, to God. Come while you can. Come while you can. While the door is still open. In Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Christ, Lord, over these heavy hearts and trembling hands, God, that have been raised this morning, many hands. And I beg of you, Lord, don't let them die today and go to hell. Don't let them leave here, Lord, lost. But I pray you, the Holy Ghost of God, would do what only you can. And that's take the Word of God, the preached Word of God, and penetrate their hard heart. May it find good lodging ground, Lord. God, that they'd be saved and produce much fruit for the glory of God. For every saved person, thank you for all our brothers and sisters in the Lord. God, I pray you'd help us all to be back this evening. Give us a good day of rest, Lord. I pray you'd touch. Give us all a burden to pray for these that have raised their hand. I pray you'd save each and every one of them, God. I pray you'd send revival to our church now. Touch, God. Lord, I pray that you'd touch Miss Patsy. Lord, I pray you'd help her, God, please. Touch her in the hospital. Thank you for the answering prayer. God, thank you for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for the good reports we've got. And I pray you continue touching and helping her. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.